Last week, a 65-year-old Milwaukee judge, Hannah Dugan, was arrested and charged with two felonies. She was alleged to have tried to help an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest after appearing in her courtroom. She's accused of obstructing a federal agency and concealing an individual to prevent an arrest. This was made national news. People in the legal community were astounded by this, and I wanted to bring on someone to talk about it from the Milwaukee community, and we have really a fine person to talk about it, Stephen Kravit. He's a partner of Kravit, Havel, and Krawczyk. He is a Harvard-educated lawyer who's practiced for 5 decades in our sister city in Milwaukee. He used to be a federal prosecutor, and now he is a civil litigator, voted one of the best lawyers in America each year for the last 31 years. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday.
Happy to help.
So you've been, you've been around the block. What is the reaction in your community to this arrest?
Significant outrage. And it's outrageous for quite a number of reasons. One is, this was a carefully planned, lynching, jumping of our local courthouse. This was, now remember, we have one undocumented alien here who is in a misdemeanor court for a domestic dispute. That sets the stage. And this judge who handles misdemeanors had, 15, 20 matters on that morning, which is typical in misdemeanor court. They brought 6 federal agents, 2 FBI agents, 2 DEA agents, 2 ICE agents, and 2 customs agents. 6 agents to a floor of our local courthouse, where, by the way, these federal people don't ever tread. The federal courthouse is in a different place. And two of them, several stayed undercover. 2 of them presented themselves to the court deputies saying they had an ICE warrant for this individual. And the judge is on the bench doing her thing. So the court deputy eventually has the judge come out. And the judge sees these 2 agents, thinks there's just 2 agents, and they say, we have a warrant. And she said, what kind of warrant? And they said, an administrative warrant. Now, there's 2 kinds of warrants. The warrant where you or I would get arrested would be something sworn out on probable cause issued by a judge, and you would be arrested. This is not that. This is a administrative warrant signed by an ICE official back at the office here in Milwaukee, that brings a person in for questioning. And it's not clear whether you have to follow an ICE warrant, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I'm going to say that it's an ICE warrant. She knew it was that. She said, go see the chief judge in our building. We have a policy about this. Let us know what it is. And so they left to go do that. The judge went back on the bench. But she was upset. Why would the sanctity of her courtroom be the place for this kind of activity? And what then developed now, according to the agents, because I've read the complaint that they put out, is that at some point this individual and his lawyer were they were allowed to leave the courtroom through a side door. The side door is the jury room door. According to the complaint, nobody's allowed in there, but that's not true. I've been there many times, oftentimes. And besides, it's beside the point, because there is no way out of the Milwaukee County Courthouse except through the public hallway. You can leave through a side door where the jury goes, but the jury, captured prisoners, everybody leaves through the public hallway. And that's what happened here. The individual and his lawyer left through a side door, and then went out into the public hallway, where they were spotted by the undercover agent. All right, now let's back up a second. The undercover agent, all these guys like to do arrests in the courthouse because people come in through security. It means they aren't armed, right? Because they came into the courthouse through security. So you have an unarmed person, his lawyer, in the public hallway, walking down the hall, and there are 2 agents there who are undercover, and the people walking down the hallway don't know they're there. If they were going to arrest him, why not arrest him there? No, they didn't. They followed him and his lawyer to a bank of elevators that's a little bit further down the hall, and the unknowing agent who swore out this affidavit said that was suspicious because he bypassed one bank of elevators for the other. What he doesn't know and what every lawyer in our town knows is that the south bank of elevators goes to the parking lot. The north bank does not. There is nothing suspicious about going past one elevator to go to the other. And, in fact, this agent gets in the elevator with this suspect, doesn't do the arrest, knows he's not armed, could have just said, you're under arrest, follow me. Didn't. Goes down, plots with the other five agents to meet him on the street, and then they jump him on the street, and he runs away, and they tackle him, and they have themselves what agents sometimes like to think is the fun thing of capturing a suspect. So that's the story. There it is. The judge let the counsel and his defendant out a side door where they went into the public hallway. And that, for that, she is charged with concealing a person from arrest, harboring a fugitive, and corruptly obstructing and impeding administration of law.
Steve, how serious are these charges?
These charges are hugely serious. They're felonies. They ruin this judge's life by the issuance. And everyone in the U.S. Attorney's Office and in the Justice Department knows it. And that's what's outrageous about this. First of all, you don't show up at someone's courtroom to arrest them and take them into custody unless you're doing a perp walk, which is what this was. A perp walk on a judge who's 60-plus years old, has no record, is not going anywhere. What you do in that circumstance is you send them a summons. You let them get a lawyer, and they show up at a certain time and place because there's no issue about them fleeing or committing other crimes.
Well, they do this with politicians all the time.
Whereas
an alderman who's accused of bribery, we see that. They call up his lawyer. They arrange for some sort of meet-up, and they can do this in an orderly fashion so as not to, it's dangerous to do this kind of thing. Not with this particular judge because she's 65 years old and obviously unarmed. But it's so what we're saying here, Steve, is that this is optics, right? This is sending a message. And what is the message that you think and what your community up there thinks is being sent?
I think the message is that the U.S. Attorney's Office here, where I used to work and be proud of, has been co-opted and captured by some sort of ideologue that I don't agree with, but doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not. The only idea that should be on their minds is justice. I know the two persons who issued this complaint. I think one of them is gunning to be the U.S. attorney appointment here, which has not yet been made. So this is another case of, kissing up to the current president and his Justice Department. And it's an outrage. First of all, this is charged by complaint, all right? That sounds like every case is charged by complaint. But in the federal system, complaints are never used, never, unless there is an issue of somebody fleeing or there's an exigent circumstance, they won't be back in the district. And do you know why? It's because in a complaint, you have to lay out all the information you have against the person, which the federal government never likes to do. What they like to do is present the evidence to a grand jury, which is secret, and then have the grand jury issue an indictment, which is oftentimes two pieces of paper with no information on it, and then that causes the defendant and his or her lawyer to scramble to find out what the case is about. They didn't do that here. They arrested this person at 8 in the morning. By 10 in the morning, the national press has issued a press release. You've got the FBI agent giving a statement. You've got the attorney general giving a statement on this case. I don't think we've ever had an FBI head or a Department of Justice, the attorney general actually give a statement on an arrest in Milwaukee, ever.
Let's take a break. Can you stay with us for just a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay. If you have any questions here, 312-981-7200, or if you'd rather text 312-981-7200. We're talking with Stephen Kravit. He is a very well-regarded five-decade-long attorney in Milwaukee. We're talking about the case of 65-year-old Milwaukee Judge Hannah Dugan being arrested. We'll be back in a minute for more on WGN. Welcome back. We are talking to Milwaukee attorney Stephen Kravit, who's practiced law up there for 50 years, and he started when he was three. And he is a very well-known lawyer up there. He does former federal prosecutor. So, you know, you were talking about how this was, you know, just everything was unusual about the way it was done. And obviously, it was to send a message. I mean, there's no question whether you are a supporter of our current president or whatever or not. It was obviously to send a message. But can you tell our listeners, you know, and you're a wise man, and you've been around the block on both sides of this as a prosecutor and as a defense lawyer and as a civil litigator. You know, what does this message send to everybody, judges, litigants, and the public?
First message it sends is to anyone who is seeking justice at the courthouse who is not a citizen and can't prove they're a citizen. I mean, there are a lot of people who are here legally, is that it's not a safe place. You want your courthouse to be a safe place where anyone can go to get justice. Well, it's not. Here you had six agents in the hallway of the courthouse saying how convenient it is to arrest people there because they're vetted for security to go to get in. How does that make you feel going on jury duty or something, or even for, you know, for any kind of a situation at the courthouse? That's terrible. Then let's look at how cheap it apparently is to charge someone and ruin their life. Because I've been doing federal criminal defense for a lot of years, and what I know is that particularly white-collar defendants, people charged with crime for the first time, their lives are ruined. It's not the conviction that ruins their lives. It's the charge. Think about the judge here. She can't go back to the bench and work while this is pending. She has to have the appearance of justice at all times. That means the state's going to end up paying her for maybe a couple of years. She won't be working. All the cases she was in the middle of have to be done by somebody else. The state has to get a reserve judge to do that. And all for what? So that some point could be made here? And let me further add that a complaint charge in the federal system is not a real charge. The real charge comes from a federal grand jury. Even when you start by complaint, you have a period of time, I think 30 days or 45 days, to get it in front of a grand jury. Because that's where the charge happens. The grand jury has the ability to say no. Now, they never do, or they almost never do, unless the prosecutor wants them to. But grand jurors read the newspapers, too. This is a high visibility item. Nothing prevents a grand juror. These are people who are ordered to sit for a year, once a month or so, to listen to cases brought only by the prosecutor. The defense lawyers are not allowed in there. And then they decide whether or not there's a probable cause to issue a charge. That has not happened. That has not happened. And this could be one of those rare cases where the grand jury listens to this and says, are you kidding me?
But meanwhile, she's spent $30,000 on an attorney. And,
absolutely.
And she's, you know, 65-year-old woman. She's probably shaken up by this, as you can imagine, and probably getting hate mail and who knows what else, and threats with her family, et cetera. And, you know, I want to go back to the courtroom because I did comment on this case this week on some of the local stations, Steve. And I will tell you, you know, one of the things that I know as, you know, being spending 40 years in courthouses all over is that the judge rules the roost. You know, the judge's courtroom is their domain, and the chief judge, the judge, you know, in the whole courthouse, that person really runs the entire courthouse, and they have a lot of discretion in how they operate so as to keep the litigants safe, because it is very dangerous. A courthouse is a dangerous place. People are at odds. People's lives and liberty are at stake. People are getting divorced. People have domestic battery cases. So, I mean, these are very dangerous, volatile places. And so the judge has a lot of authority to do that which is, conducive to safe, safety. And if you can't do that in a courthouse, then what's going to happen to the other judges who are going to be fearful that the same thing is going to happen to them? I mean, that's kind of how I'm looking at this, too.
I think you're right. I mean, it's fair game now, apparently, up at the courthouse. Any public space, it's turned out to be the place they like to arrest people because people are already vetted to not having weapons. And that's what's going to happen up there. They've made it clear that if you are of documented status or some questionable status of being a person in this country, whether that's good or bad, don't go to the courthouse.
And can you just tell our listeners a little bit about this judge? I know that she, you know, has a long career, and she, you know, is she well regarded in your community?
Sure. She had a long career as basically a legal aid lawyer, and a lot of accomplishments from that. It takes a special person to want to do that work. And then when you get on the bench, you bring a particular perspective. I mean, there's plenty of judges who are DA and then judge, so they have a particular perspective. And this judge comes from a different, from the other side a little bit, and is regarded for that. Now, misdemeanor court is not the best posting. I'm sure you know, being a lawyer, it's not a great place to be. It's like a lot of cases every day. It's very important to the people involved, but it's not where there's a great stretch of intellectual capability needed, and I'm not saying she doesn't have that. So it's hard to distinguish herself in that court, is my point. But it is good to do the job right, and she did the job right. She does the job right. And to be confronted with this, to be have her courtroom, in effect, surrounded and assaulted by, six agents of the government. What were these two FBI agents doing there? What were the two DEA agents doing there? There were no drugs involved here. They're not doing other cases, like about drugs or about what the FBI usually does. The ICE guys, I guess this is what they do for a living. But why were six agents needed in this situation? And why didn't those agents just arrest the guy when they saw him in the hallway?
And it
just doesn't make any sense.
And the way things are going, and again, like, you know, I try not to get political here because there's people from different walks here who are listening. But, you know, I even fear that she's going to hire an attorney. And is that attorney then going to be attacked? Is that attorney and the law firm, is pressure going to be put on that law firm not to represent her? And so the balance of the branches of government is you have the executive branch and they do what they do, but there has to be a limit, and that is the judicial branch. And so, and then the lawyers are the ones who are representing people in all these cases. And so if you put a damper on our judiciary and on the lawyers who are representing people, it just seems to me that this is not going to end well.
And I would add to that that you now have a Justice Department that has a partisan viewpoint, not the neutral justice. What are the facts? What, you know, what is the law? Should we exercise discretion here? It's no. If it's an ICE case, we are going to the limit. We are going to do whatever we can. And that is dangerous to me.
So we only have a couple minutes, but going forward, we're talking to Stephen Krivet. He is with Krivet, Hovel, and Krosick.
Krivet, Hovel, and Krofcheck. Thank you.
Krofcheck. I'm so sorry. I messed that up. What happens next? We just have like a minute left. What happens
Dugan? She has made her bail or whatever it is they had her do, and then a period of time will elapse before this matter is presented to a grand jury or not. In that time, the lawyers might talk about something less than these charges because they've made their point. Again, it doesn't matter what happens here. What matters is that they got their show, and we'll see what they do. If they follow through, try and indict her, and the grand jury does indict her, then she's in for a couple of years of fighting it.
And I'm sure we'll be watching that. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen Krivet, and Milwaukee, in our sister city up in beautiful Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I have a house in Delavan, and I'm up there all the time. Beautiful restaurants and bars and hotels, and we appreciate you joining us today.
And thank you for the opportunity.
All right, take care.